You know, there's times in our lives where we have to settle for substitutes, okay? And when you think about substitutions, sometimes they can be a good thing and sometimes they're not such a good thing. When I was in high school, I was overjoyed when I showed up to class and there was a substitute. You know why? Because that meant class is going to be easy today. And class is probably going to be fun today, too, because we're probably going to make it fun. Now, if you remember, I was an ornery kid, so when I made it fun, it probably wasn't very pleasant for the substitute, but it was fun for me. I enjoyed that. There's been other times in my life where I've had to settle for a substitute, and I was not very happy. There was a time when we went to Smoke to the Bone Smokehouse, and if you haven't been there and you like smoked meat, I highly recommend it, down in Iuka. We went there, and I ordered ribs and brisket. That's my go-to, all right? And then, so we get over and sit down to eat, and they come out, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, sir, but we're actually out of ribs. Can we substitute something else? And I wanted to be like, are you kidding me right now? What do you mean, can you substitute something else? I drove down here for ribs, but somebody else in my family got ribs, and so they shared them with me and everything. But that wasn't a substitute I was too excited about. In fact, I was quite disappointed in that kind of substitution. But sometimes things just happen in life, and we don't get what we originally expect. And we can take those in a good way. We can take those in a bad way. Some of them are a benefit to us. Sometimes they stretch us or challenge us. But here's the thing. You get something else instead. It means you might have lost out on something, right? And a lot of times that's where our heart goes. It's to what I lost. I want what I did not get. I want what I came for. I want what I expected. I lost something. But the part that we often miss out on and we sometimes don't see is that also means that we gained something that we did not expect. And oftentimes that actually can be a better thing for us in the long run. It's just that we're so set on what we expected and what we wanted that we often can't see that this replacement, this substitute, this compensation could actually be better for us than what we originally had. I was at a conference. I don't remember if it was a men's conference or where we were at, but I heard this minister once say he had been widowed and was remarried. And you know, anybody that's in that position, you probably can relate, but he said that my first wife was God's best for me, his plan for me, right? He said, but my second wife was God's grace for me. Right? It's not that the one replaced the other and the other one didn't matter or anything. It was just that, you know, I had this second one that was God's grace for me. Right? It was the unexpected. And it was the one that he currently had, and he was thankful for that. And he kind of went on about how God has used that in his life. And so there are times where God can use these instead moments in our lives. These times where we get something instead of what we had, and he can use it in a way we could never imagine or we could never even plan for ourselves. Church, we right now actually live in an instead world. You guys realize that? We have this instead of what God created. Right? This right now is a temporary substitute. This life, this way that we live was not God's plan A. God's plan A was walking with man and woman in the cool of the day in the garden, right? That was his plan A. That's where he wanted to be. When you think about how God created this world, he created Adam and Eve as they walked in this garden, and it was perfect. How many guys would like to just experience one day where everything was perfect? How about 1 hour where everything is perfect? This was God's plan. No sin. Satan had no authority. I mean, hallelujah, how great would that be? No authority, no influence, nothing at this point in time. It all belonged to man, to the one that God had created, to the one that God had given dominion and said, take dominion, subdue the earth. Then we have this serpent that tempts Eve, and she and Adam sin. And we look at what Adam and Eve did here in the garden. We see what they did in this garden, and we think about how God could have destroyed them, right? He could have started over. He could have said, you know what? They've done messed up. They did what I told them not to do. They've messed up, and I could start over. But instead of starting over, we see that God had a plan. God already had an instead moment for us because he knew exactly what was going to happen. He had this plan of mercy and this plan of grace, but even more than that, he had this plan of redemption. We see Adam and Eve. We see they disobey God and they go and they hide, right? He says, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they do, and God finds them hiding. So what does God do instead of killing them? Instead of starting over, he covers them. He covers their shame with the skins of sacrificed animals, because anytime there is sin, there has to be a sacrifice. There has to be shedding of blood. There has to be atonement to cover it. But thank Jesus for what he did on the cross, amen? That we no longer have to sacrifice animals because he gave up his own life as the perfect, sinless Lamb of God, his blood that covers all of our sins, past, present, and future, if we are born again through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And so when you look back at Adam and Eve, the story goes on that they had two sons. They had these sons, Cain and Abel. And so Cain, if you don't know this story, you can read it in Genesis chapter 3 or chapter 4, but he gets jealous of Abel. He kills Abel, and then Cain moves to another land. And in that day, really, if you look at it practically, Adam and Eve, it's like they lost both of their sons. One was dead, the other moved to another land and was kind of living his own way. And I can only imagine what Adam and Eve were thinking, what they were going through, that my firstborn has killed my secondborn, and we really have lost them both. And then you think about where they started just a few decades ago, two decades ago, they started in this moment where they were walking with God. Unlike any earthly relationship we've ever experienced, where they're walking with God in this cool of the day. They walked in this garden, this perfect garden. But church, you also got to remember that they were the ones that were responsible for this sin that had entered. They and their disobedience is what brought the world to this place, to where they lived outside of paradise, and now people were sinful where their son killed his brother. You got to imagine that there was probably some heavy guilt, some heavy shame that they were walking around living under, right? Because it wasn't like it is now. It was a constant atonement for these things. And so they're walking around, and who knows how they're feeling. What have we done, right? What have we allowed? Going back and thinking about how, what if we had made a different choice? What if, you know, what if Adam would have been the man that he was supposed to be and would have intervened and stopped his wife from taking a bite of the fruit? What if his wife would have just been like, no, serpent, I'm not eating that. God said no, but he twisted and manipulated and lied and deceived them into sin. And so now what? What about this plan that God has, not just for the world, but for their lives? How would this possibly work out? And this is where we pick up in Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. It says that Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. God gives them this son who is named Seth. Seth means compensation or instead of. Seth, this son, this third son. For those of you that have lost a loved one, you know that there's no real compensation for the loss of a loved one, whether it's a child or a parent or a friend, right? There's no real compensation. Like, there's nothing that's worth the trade-off there. There's nothing that you would rather have than what you once did. And I imagine that Adam and Eve maybe felt the same way. But listen, just because there's compensation, that doesn't mean that it was really meant to fully replace what was lost. It doesn't mean that it's to replace it. If you have cut the cord and don't have cable or satellite, you probably remember this commercial because it's been around forever, but I think it's still on TV. So you've probably have heard this. It starts off like this. Attention. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with mesothelioma, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Right? Does anybody know that commercial? It's been on like my whole life, I think. Like no matter what, I don't even have cable, and I still see or hear that commercial somewhere, like on a regular basis. And I'm like, you guys haven't figured out who all has mesothelioma yet? I mean, people are still need to come forward, but this is it's a type of cancer that's caused mostly by exposure to asbestos, okay? And it's nice that somebody wants to find out if you have that and get you some kind of compensation, but I don't care if they give you a bajillion dollars, it's not better than a functioning lung, right? Like, it's not better than what you originally had. It may compensate you to where you can live a better or more comfortable life, where you can go forward in a better manner than you could right now, but that compensation is never meant to fully restore what you had lost, because it can't. It's not possible. You'd rather have the ability to breathe well than all the money in the world. But see, this is the thing about compensation, is we sometimes misunderstand what compensation is about. Compensation is not about undoing the past, because it can't do that. It's about trying to give you another way forward. Okay, I can't fix what was done to you, but I can help you find another way forward. And so Adam and Eve had their world rocked. They had their world probably somewhat destroyed, as their son Abel was dead. Their son Cain is now gone, and God comes in and gives them Seth instead. Not that Seth makes up for the death of Abel, not that he fully replaces Abel and his memory and who he was or any of those things, but what Seth does, this instead child, gives them another way to move forward. If they had never had another kid, well, none of us would be here, for one thing. But if they had never had another kid, how would they have ever moved forward? They would have constantly lived under that guilt and shame and that condemnation of the past. And God says, I will come and instead give you another child, a way forward, another way for you to do what I asked you to do, which was to multiply and fill the earth. I'll give you another way to a legacy. I'll give you another way to continue living life and fulfilling purpose, another way, instead of being stuck looking at the past, what could have been, what should have been, what might have been, instead of being stuck in this loop. I've given you an acceptable alternative. See, instead is not always better, right? Because it's not supposed to undo the past. Sometimes you may still want what you already had, but here's the deal. You lost one thing, but you got to not forget about it like it never happened, but you got to stop dwelling on that and think about, but what am I gaining? Right? What am I gaining? Because you can find joy in what you're gaining. You can find a way forward in what you are gaining. You got to accept what God has given you. And this morning, I want you to think about your Seth. What is the thing, what is the area of your life? Maybe you feel like you were robbed of, you feel like you messed up and you might have ruined that. You think that, man, if only I could have or would have or should have, or only if God would have intervened or he would have done this or that. And you look back at that moment and those things in your life and you're just, man, I wish I could just have that back. I want you to think about what that Seth is in your life. What is that thing that you keep looking back toward today What is that area where God is trying to give you an instead? He's trying to give you this way forward. Not that the past never happened, but a way to move forward and be fruitful for the name of Jesus. I want you to consider what God said through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 43, verse 18. He said, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now, I know if you've suffered great loss, this can be a hard verse, right? It's a verse that maybe it makes sense in your mind, but it still kind of hurts in your heart. But it's not saying that you can't remember the things that you've lost. What he's saying is don't get stuck in the past. Don't dwell on what used to be and wish that you could have it back, because you can't. And it prevents you from moving forward into the new thing, the instead thing, the thing that God has for you. It says that even in the wilderness, he can make a road. Listen, I'm telling you, if you were to take me, I know some of you in here have like some land, like 40 acres, you were to take me and blindfold me and drop me in the middle of that, Lord help me if I don't have cell phone signal. I may never find my way out. I would be like praying, like, Lord, make a way. Like, make a road, have a squirrel that leads me out. You got to do something, because I'm really directionally challenged. I'm not good in the woods, all right? But God can make a way in the wilderness. He really can. He can make a way of escape for you. And it says that even in the desert, he can make a river. He can make a river, church. You don't have to die in the desert where you're exhausted and the heat has overwhelmed you and overtaken you. God can make a river. He can make a river that gives you refreshing, that gives you the ability to cool down, the ability to reset and to restart. It says that even when there's no way possible, no way to go forward, there's no compensation for your loss, there's nothing that can replace what you've done, God can still give you an instead. He can still give you a way forward, but you've got to be willing to accept it. See, that's what our problem is a lot of times. We've got to be willing to accept it. Now, if I'm already at the smokehouse and they're out of ribs, I'm not turning around and driving 40 minutes back and not eating anything. I will accept a substitute, right? I mean, I'd be like, well, I guess give me more brisket. You know, give me a double brisket, whatever. But I'm going to accept some kind of replacement, some kind of compensation, or guess what? I'm going to sit there and go hungry because my family ain't leaving without eating, right? And rightfully so. There's a lot of times in our lives where we're offered this instead moment, but we refuse to accept it. But listen, don't think of it as a replacement. Think of it as a new thing. Think of it as a way forward, an opportunity that God has given us. And if we can do that, he says in Isaiah that it will spring forth. I don't know what you think about when you see the word spring forth, but I see Tigger, okay? And I don't think that's what it's talking about. You know, some of you young people don't know what Tigger is. Your grandpa will explain it to you guys later, okay? But I kind of picture that. But what it really means is it will sprout, right? It will, you know, Todd's getting ready to find out here in a couple months or whatever. I don't know, 1 month? 1 day, okay, it'll sprout. I don't really know. I just look out here occasionally and stuff grows. But it will sprout. It will grow. It will produce. It will shoot out of the ground, right? Spring forth. It will grow. Look what happens to Adam and Eve instead. And I want to tell you, this also applies to transitions in your life. It's not always just about death or loss or something that was taken away. Sometimes it's the fact that God's just moving you on from one thing to another thing. But look what happens to Adam and Eve as they get Seth, this instead child. Verse 26, it says, "And as for Seth, to him was also a son was born. His name was Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord." See, Cain had these descendants that were living worldly, that were not following the Lord, that were just doing whatever they want. And Seth, has these kids and it begins to spark revival. We start to see men that are faithful to God. It says that they call on the name of the Lord. These men call on the name of the Lord. They cried out to their creator. They cried out to their God. They want to know him. Weren't we singing about that earlier? I want to know you. You know, that's not a salvation song. That's a relationship song. It's not just that I want to know you once. It's I want a continual knowing of you. I want to know you more and more and deeper and deeper. And we see these men right here. It says that they call out to God because they want to know him. They think something is missing here. I've told you guys this story before, but when we used to come to church here when Marissa was a baby and we'd quit coming for a couple of years, and I remember there was a time where my wife just looked at me and we were doing well. We had a good life. We had a, you know, good family. We had good friends, and she's like, there's just something missing. I don't know what it is, but there's something that's missing in our lives. And she's like, I feel like when we were at church that part that seems like it's missing now was there. Let's go back. And me as a good husband, because I am. She's in the nursery. I can say anything I want. Me as the good husband, I was like, okay, well, let's go back then. I'll give you one night. We'll go Saturday, you know. Saturday night, we'll go back. Well, you know, I'll kind of scratch the itch a little bit and then do whatever I want again. And then I promised her I'd try it again Sunday morning, and then Wednesday night, and then Saturday night, and then Sunday night, and then Wednesday, and it just continued on and on and on. Why? Because there was something missing. It was called the presence of God in my life. And I experienced it here, and then I realized that I can experience it at home too. And listen, it radically changed my life. It wasn't just going to church anymore. Listen, that is a very important piece of your spiritual walk. Don't belittle the fact of coming to church is important. It is. But I'm just saying it needs to be more than that. It's got to also be out there. It's also got to be at home. And these men were doing what we need to be doing. They were calling out to God. They are crying out to God to know him more. They wanted probably what they heard about from grandma and grandpa, great grandma and great grandpa, what they had in the garden. And they're like, that sounds amazing. I want that. And they start to cry out. Adam and Eve had accepted their instead. They somehow, some way in there, in the between those two verses, they took the step forward. They accepted the instead that God has provided a way for us. He's provided a way to heal, a way to move forward, a way to continue to do what he created us to do. And they had to have begun to tell about their walk with the Lord, about what it was like, about how their life was. And we see through their descendants that it leads them to this place of seeking God for themselves. God's instead leads us back to him. When he creates that instead moment in our life, it leads us back to him. Now listen, I know that some of you have been hurt. I know that some of you have suffered tragic loss in your life. And I know that, again, nothing can compensate for that. But listen, I also know that God is good. I really do. I know that he loves you. I know that he is the one who blessed you with that thing or that person that you lost. That was his blessing in your life to begin with. And I know that he did not allow that loss to happen in your life to cause you hurt. I know that. You know why? Because he loves you. Because he cares for you. Because he desires good for you. And I know that you may not understand why. Why did this happen? You may never understand that on this side of heaven, but I'm going to tell you that if you can trust him, that he will give you an instead moment. He will give you a way forward. He'll give you a way to not just deal with it, but a way to heal with it and continue to move forward and press on. Listen, some of you need that today. Some of you maybe even blame God for some loss in your life. But again, I want you to hear this. God did not do that to you. He didn't. He's good. He's a good, good father. In him is no darkness, no darkness at all. There's no evil in God. He didn't do it to you. But I want to tell you that today I do know that he can do something for you. I know that he can do something for you. And so today's the day you may need to pray about that and let that go. But this instead moment, it's meant to lead us back to Jesus. When these men cry out to the name of the Lord, again, we picture them crying out like, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. But this word call here, it also means to proclaim. They maybe started to proclaim the spiritual heritage that belonged to them. They began to proclaim the God of their grandparents and great-grandparents. They began to declare that he is my God as well. I may not even really know him yet, but I'm going to, and he's going to be my God. He's my creator. So the descendants of Seth, they proclaimed, they announced, they declared that the Lord was their God. Somebody say, Jesus is Lord. That was pretty good for a first attempt, but I think we can do better. Somebody say, Jesus is Lord. Man, you guys are on it today. It's not just about crying out for help. We need to do that, of course. But we also have to declare, not only to the devil, but sometime to our own souls and to the world around us, that no matter what I've lost, praise God for what I have found in Jesus. You know, I've lost a lot, but praise God for what I have found in Jesus. I've found something, I've found someone that nothing in this life can compare to. Nothing can compare to what I can find in Jesus. If you found a friend in Jesus, you know you can be thankful to? You can be thankful to Adam and Eve all the way back. I know it's hard, because we're like, I'm very not thankful to Adam and Eve. You also can be thankful to Adam and Eve that they accepted the instead son. Because this instead son is very important to us. Because this moment, God's instead moment, led to our redemption. See, Adam and Eve, we put the full fault for the sin of the world on their shoulders, right? That Adam, when I get to heaven, listen, there ain't no sin in heaven. You ain't going to be shaking your fist at him. You're going to hug him, all right? This is what I want you to think of. The instead son, right here, that provided a road to redemption for you and to me. Right? It's through this lineage of Seth, this instead son, through his line that Jesus was born into the world. See, God didn't just have this small plan that you might have thought when you've read that in the past, this small plan of just replacing their dead son. That wasn't it, church. He had a much greater plan of restoring a dead world. A much greater plan of restoring a dead world. This instead way forward. See, God uses this to establish this bloodline, that Jesus would leave his throne in heaven to be born into this sin-filled world, to live this sinless life, to die on a cross to pay the price for my sin and for your sin, right? The price for all who would receive him as Savior. Then, to be raised to new life, right? New life for him means new life for me. New life for you if we're in Christ. Born by the Spirit so we can have this way forward. Church that is full of freedom and full of purpose. See, Adam and Eve's instead named Seth leads to our way of instead whose name is Jesus. Praise God that we can have a new life, that the Bible, Paul said that we are not who we once were, amen, but we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. He says, listen, I know that you still have those things of the past, and I'm going to tell you that we sometimes still deal with some of the consequences of the things of our past, but we don't have to deal with the condemnation of those things of the past. because we have been forgiven and freed in the name of Jesus. You're not that person anymore. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus because of the instead named Seth. We have our instead named Jesus, the name above all names. Hallelujah. The only name by which you can be saved, the one who gives you victory over defeat, life over death, heaven instead of hell. Peter, as he's preaching to the masses in the book of Acts, he says in chapter 4, verse 8, it says that Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says to them, to these religious leaders, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by which means he was made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Hallelujah. That's just as true today as it was the day that Peter said it. Amen? It's just as true. Jesus. Remember that old song, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Man, there really is something about that name, because it's the name above all names. When we're facing our instead moment, when we're stuck between looking back and longing for what was and moving forward, we need to be like the descendants of Seth, and we need to cry out, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Proclaim, announce, declare the name of Jesus over our lives and that he is Lord. Listen, church, when we can declare that Jesus is Lord, I'm going to tell you, here's the biggest problem with our own lives is we try to be in charge of it. We try to be Lord. We try to rule. We try to make things happen. And I'm going to tell you, if you're overwhelmed, you need to just declare Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. You know what? You know how great it is to not be in charge of something? Listen, you don't have to carry the weight of being the person in charge. Jesus is Lord. Or if you can come to that place of, you know what? You're in charge. I'm just willing to submit to your rule, to your leadership, to your authority. Church, it takes such a spiritual weight off of your shoulders knowing, man, you know what? This is all his problem. Now my problem is just, can I listen to him? Right? Can I obey him? See, all that we have in this life is temporary. You guys realize that, right? My grandma Kurtenbach used to tell me this. I remember my whole life, you can't take it with you. I don't even know why she's telling me that as a kid. Apparently, I was trying to take stuff with me already. But you can't take it with you, right? I mean, you can't. There's going to be a day where all the things that we have, we're going to lose them. And listen, you don't want to get stuck trying to get back something that you're going to lose at some point anyway. The importance of proclaiming the name of Jesus. Church, it's important not just for us, but for the people around us. Because you guys realize that that's the one thing other than God himself that's eternal is the souls of men. Our souls, every person, it's eternal. Now, the thing is, they're all going to go on forever, but where? Where is the destination? Is it going to be in heaven with Christ, or is it going to be in hell apart from Christ? They're going to be in heaven if they belong to Jesus, right? If they've submitted to him, if they've claimed him as Lord and Savior, but if they've rejected him, they're going to be in hell. We've got to make his name known, church. We've got to be those that proclaim it, that live it, that show it in our lives. And so listen, today, if you're somebody who needs to know him, listen, I don't mean know about him. You're here in church. You know about him. I'm talking about, do you know him? Like, do you have that relationship with him? Do you believe in him? Do you trust him? Listen, if you need the Holy Spirit today, listen, if you want to come and take that step forward, if you want to say, I'm going to reach out today and I'm going to take a hold of my instead moment, when we open up the altars here in just a moment, I want you to come. Listen, for those that are hurting, I think of this story. It's in John, I think, chapter 5. There's this man by the pool of Bethesda. Some of you know this story. It says that an angel would come down and stir the water, and there was these lame people, not like lame, like uncool, like injured people, right? And they're laying around by this pool, and what would happen is if the angel would come and stir the water, the first one in would be healed. Now imagine a bunch of people who are handicapped in mostly physical ways probably, trying to be the first one to get in that water to receive their healing. And it says that there's this man who tried over and over and over. He could never be the first one in. I don't know exactly what his ailment was. We know that he was on a mat. We know that he probably wasn't very mobile. We know that this man knew only one option in life. I got to get in that water. I don't even remember how often this happened, but it wasn't real often. It wasn't like a on the hour, every hour kind of thing. It wasn't like the train coming by, you know? And so he would struggle to get into that water. He never was first. Listen, the other people aren't going to let him go first. They want the healing for their own lives. But he knew one way. He knew he had to be faster than everybody else, but here's the problem. He wasn't. He was not faster. This only way changed because there was a day when Jesus came walking by. Jesus came walking by, and Jesus had an instead moment for this lame man. He said, you know what? You don't have to get in. This is my ad-libbing, but he's like, you don't have to get in this water. Instead, and this is what he said, Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. It said, immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and he walked. See, Jesus gave this man a way forward that nobody else could provide. No other man could give him this healing. No other man could give him an option. He only had one way to get in the water, and he couldn't do it. And this is where we find ourselves in our lives a lot of times, churches. We only got one way that we can think of to get this done, and I can't do it. And I've tried to do it, and I've tried to do it, and I've tried to do it, and I'm not fast enough or smart enough, or I don't know the right things to say or the right people to ask or the right doctor to go to or the right test to take, or on and on and on and on. But listen, when we have an encounter with Jesus, he has the ability to just say, get up and walk. You know what? I've got an instead moment for you that what you've been trying and trying and trying to do, what you've been trying and trying and trying to hold on to and not let go, listen, he can turn it all around in a moment's notice when he says, get up and walk. For this man, listen, Jesus freed this man from everything that held him back. From everything that held him back. And that same Jesus sent his Spirit. His Spirit, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead, to dwell in us, in his church, in his body, the same freedom, right? The same healing, the same deliverance is right here in this room. It's in this room. It's in the people in this room. It's the Spirit of the living God. It's not me, it's not you, it's not the worship team, it's him. And he's here and willing and able. And the word of God, which is always true, says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. And so the question is that today, this morning, will you take your instead moment? Will you turn loose of what you've been holding on to? And will you say, Lord, I choose today that whatever it is that you have for me instead, it may not make sense in practical terms. It may not make sense in my mind. I may not be able to rationalize it, but Lord, I choose what you have for me today so that I can have a way forward. To do what I've never been able to do on my own, I'm going to give up trying. I'm going to give up trying. I'm going to give up control. I'm going to say that, Jesus, you are Lord. And so today I receive what you have for me. Will you stand? Father, we thank you and praise you this morning. God, we thank you for your word. God, your word that gives us life. Your word that is active, that it functions in our life to build us up, to correct us, Lord, to teach us, to show us the way, God, to increase our faith. And so, God, I pray that today, through this story of what you did with Adam and Eve when you brought this instead child, you brought this instead child that created a way forward, a way to move on, a way to you, and a way to redemption. God, that as we think about this story, that we can apply it to our own lives, Lord, will you give us what we need this morning? Will you lead us closer to you? Will you lead us to that place of redemption, that we declare that Jesus is Lord, the name above all names, the only name by which you can be saved, and your spirit is a spirit of healing, of freedom, of comfort, of deliverance. Lord, of anything that we need in our lives, we just bow before you right here, right now, as we enter back into worship, Lord. We ask you to have our way. We ask that you would set the captives free as you declared in your word that you came to do. And so right now as we worship, as we open up the altar, God, we pray that you would convict our hearts. If we need prayer today, if we need you today, God, that we'd be bold enough to come to set aside what we have and to take what you have instead. We worship you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.